News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dan's out today. Sean's in.
Hey, y'all.
That's Sean Sullivan. You might have heard him on this station before. Midday Mobile,
I used to do this show.
This show?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Somewhere back in my memory. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. Great to have you in again, Sean. And we have plenty to talk about and a lot of texts already this morning at 251-343-0106. And see, I throw the area code in every time.
Hey, listen, you and Jeff, I'm starting to do better about saying the 251.
Well, I started doing it, I think, mainly for myself once they made that change. And how many years we have to dial the area code? But the text line, you already know it because you're texting us this morning, and we got a lot to get to.
But there's always new people. And I say this at the beginning of the show for midday. So 251-343-0106 for a call or a text, because new people writing to show it. New people always getting on board here. So welcome. We're happy to have you. Put it in your contacts, because 56 hours a week of live local shows. We may not do something this hour you want to chime in on, but don't worry. There's live shows. I keep coming back to this because I guess people may not realize this is not how the business works anymore.
Mm-mm.
Live shows 7 days a week on this radio station with local folks. So just
And I loved your you were recommending a New Year's resolution yesterday. You said, hey, For us, give yourself a name on the text line. If you don't have a handle, this isn't like childhood where you have no say over your nickname. You can give us your handle.
Right.
Sometimes, and especially Jeff, he likes to name some of the texters, but usually you tell us what you want to be called, and we'll call you that.
That's for sure. Can I talk about two texters?
Yeah, please. Let's start with the text. Why not?
Okay. I want to land this plane. This has been like a burr under my saddle, because Travis earlier this morning asked about the boom in Saraland. Okay, he said it was sounded like a bomb shook the ground. He was outside, and so I was asking, what could it have been? My Saraland reporters. So Todd says this: a lot of times, loud booms around Saraland and Chickasaw area are at the recycling facility on the Mobile River. I understand. Prepare y'all for this. Todd writes: I understand that sometimes propane tanks get stuffed and all that metal, and when it compresses, they go boom.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Can you imagine running the machinery out there, operating, and all of a sudden the boom with the propane? Yikes. So that's it. Everything else is gravy on the show. I just wanted to two things together.
We don't know for a fact, but our early lead, our suspect to start the morning for the big boom in Saraland is possibly a partially filled propane tank that went boom.
That's just
it's a possibility.
It's a theory, it's a theory of interest in this case.
Here's another theory from Jesse. Says meth lab, end of story.
Possibly. We don't have that. That doesn't happen locally anymore.
Yeah, there meth? There have to be meth labs still out there, but we don't
they
hear
have trouble
of them
getting
as much.
All the, so, I mean, that's what, I remember Sheriff Cochran back in the day on the show with me talking about it. He said, and I appreciate the candor, he said, we're not going to change that people are going to be addicted and doing meth. He said, I can't change that. He said, what I can change is with the smurfing laws and the crackdowns on all the components, he said, that they're not going to be making it here. And remember, I mean, children were burned, houses caught on fire, walls blew off of motels. He's like, we're going to stop that stuff. He said, people are still going to get drugs. They're just not going to be making them here. I mean, I'm sure still some people are riding around in their RV making them, but I don't think it's at that same level. I don't know.
And Jesse says Wilmer for the meth labs. And,
Wilmer's on the way. And Wilmer, where they had Jesse remembers this, they had buried a school bus, underground school bus meth lab. They had I don't have this. This is just in my memory banks.
It was like a shelter, but it was a bus, and it was a meth lab.
Yeah, like they had taken a Traco or whatever, dug out the hole, put the school bus in it, and then covered it up, and then the lab was in an underground school bus that blew up.
I like the idea of that all the way up to the meth lab part.
Yeah.
Like having an underground bus where you can hide out.
Or what they call them now, schoolies. So I learned that tip because my daughter, kind of like myself, likes the idea of camping and RVs and all that stuff, and then I don't know, 5 years ago, she said, Dad, we got to get a schoolie. I'm like, a schoolie? And it's the world of people taking school buses and redoing them, remodeling them into campers.
Yeah.
And,
schoolies
going through it,
is what
and they
call
put
those.
The beds in it. Yeah, they call them schoolies. So
that's amazing. Yeah, I'm 34 years old.
Schoolies.
I wish I knew the exact demarcation line, but I've lost the youth. I have no idea what so many of these, like you said yesterday.
You imagine me.
People say that's giving something.
So like, I've learned this one, yes.
That's, and I think you were talking to about Trump in Venezuela, and you said that's giving George W. Bush.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's right.
Just the vibe that it's giving, I guess.
Yes, so that's the term. Yes, I've learned this one too. Because we would say, child of the 80s, me, who's still probably in here in my parachute pants and my Guess jean jacket and my Reebok shoes, we would say it's like so-and-so, you know, but now the youths, and maybe by the time I get it, they're probably not even saying the same word, but they say it's giving something.
Yeah, they may have moved on already.
Like if it's like somebody's creepy, it's giving creepy, you know, it's giving, so.
Well, there's no telling when mine are, when they,
and they'll be speaking a different language. Your children are so young, they'll be speaking a different language.
Exactly, so they do the 6-7 thing all the time, but the oldest now has lost her front two teeth. So we have a new look around the house.
Yeah, a lot of whistling.
Yeah, we were trying to get her to do the Sally Sells Seashells last night, and she pulled it off rather remarkably, actually, with the two front teeth missing.
She got her dad's genetics. She can speak.
I guess so. You know, last night, Trump in front of the nation, and I mentioned these prediction markets. It really kind of is fascinating, the rise of these, like Polymarket and Kalshi, and I was even watching... I think, well, it was Sean Hannity last night, which right after, so the Trump discussion, or I guess the address to the nation,
yeah.
Was at 8 o'clock, so that's when Hannity came on. But right after, he had like three senators, one of them we know very well, Senator Katie Britt was on the panel, also Senator John Barrasso, I think Wyoming, maybe, where he's from, and then... Your favorite now, after agreeing with him yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham.
He is not my favorite. I told you I had a disgusting day yesterday where I had to agree. If anything, I'm honest, and it's such a burden to carry. It's like the ring that I have to carry, that when Lindsey Graham was right about something, I had to say I agree with him. But that's it. But that day's over. That day's over. 99.9% of the time, I don't like anything Lindsey Graham does, but I don't like what he did. But what he said was true.
I think you called me John Bolton yesterday, so it's only fair that I call you, you know, the biggest fan of Lindsey Graham agreeing with him.
All right, deal,
but it was kind of, and I liked what they had to say. I thought Trump's address was good because it is kind of a reminder of what they started with the Biden administration. And I think without much help from the House at all, have been able to do a lot of things that hopefully turns economically the country around. And like Barrasso said with...
I don't know. You're saying some members of the House, but saying with no help from the House at all.
I mean, he took the... And I know there was a government shutdown. I guess I've just been pretty unimpressed with Mike Johnson here recently. I feel like he could be running the ship a little better than he is, although I know that it's a weird dynamic. He's herding cats, but to keep the House when, you know, right now it's looking like Trump will have only had the House for these first 2 years, which happens so often. Mm-hmm. So you only have so much time to do things. And to take him out for a month and a half or 2 months during the government shutdown, when they still could have been passing bills, and then even kicking this healthcare issue down the road a little bit, and he's not getting much assistance from Trump in herding the cats in this specific instance, like you see so often when Trump has a plan and is even whipping votes.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like he's kind of letting this healthcare thing work out, but even last night providing some commentary on that during his speech. But Barrasso, you know, he mentioned afterwards, just like Trump did during the speech, we don't even talk about the border being shut down. That happened so quickly, right, and I guess so effectively, that you'd think that would be a big player in the midterms coming up, but no one's really even talking about that anymore. So I think last night being able to remind people of some of the things that have happened that have been good these first 11 months, but then you go, because it's Trump, there's just so much drama swirling around all the time that for better or worse, things that happened 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, let alone 10 months ago, get kind of lost in the wash. So I thought last night was a good opportunity, and I think he used all of the discussion about the Reiner thing, especially what's going to happen in Venezuela, and used that to kind of reposition the frame for the Republicans who are campaigning for the midterms. But what Barrasso and Hannity brought up this Polymarket and said, made a little joke about what Lindsey Graham was expected to say. I guess he cussed on the air the other night and said BS. And he said, well, Polymarket says you're going to say BS again tonight. And Lindsey Graham went, well, when I'm in a good mood, I don't cuss, just when I'm in a bad mood. But it's so weird,
it's pretty good, Lindsey.
Prediction market thing, because 91% That's what they were saying, the chances that Trump would talk about Venezuela in that address last night. It was all about the economy.
And people, I'm telling you, it's gambling for everybody. Even if you're not a sports person, there's gambling on these prediction markets out there. And also, what you were talking about, what Trump does, I've watched this over time. So in a given week, there's the main storyline. Okay, the main storyline is there, and then there, it's almost like radio. Then there are what we call in the business called kicker stories, right? You get the main thing, and then there's like, oh, by the way, crazy woman has a cat that does the hula hoop or something like that. Yeah. So Trump will have the main thing he's working on, but then because he can't help himself, he does these things that are like these Easter eggs or what, you know, these little extra things in there. So it's about economy. Maybe, but then he's going to throw the, you know, people have attention because of the Reiner thing. I think the Venezuela thing is part of the main theme.
Yeah.
But these other things that, what I call them unforced errors for Trump, and people are like, well, just let Trump be Trump. But sometimes it gets in the way of, I'm like, Trump's doing an awesome thing here. And then he goes one step too much. I'm like, why? But now that becomes a discussion. But I don't know if it's on purpose. Sometimes I think it's on purpose. I think he does. I think he gets into a week. And he's going to do, here's our main theme, and then here's the thing I'm going to throw out to cause confusion.
And I was thinking about that some last night, specifically with how quickly he came out with the Reiner critique. Mm-hmm. Critique is one way to say what he put out there on Truth Social.
And the people come out and say, well, you know, Rob Reiner said this and this and this about Trump. I get it. I'm not ignorant to that. But I've had a situation here in the last year where somebody that I was really didn't get along with, right? And there's a very few of those in the world that I don't really get along with, had passed. And I'm like, there's no reason to say anything, but you're sorry that person passed.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, you know.
If you have nothing nice to say,
don't say anything at all. That's just.
But I think it's so instinctual, and this is just a theory, and really, you know, how much time needs to be spent on why Trump does what. But I think it's so important to him to frame the story or be part of framing the story as early as possible. That way he has some kind of stake in it and it doesn't get out of hand before he can say, have his say.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what this like Reiner thing, he just wanted to put what he had to say out there first before maybe more people were able to like James Woods and so many of the others who truly do like Reiner, it seems, but are also big Trump fans before they kind of glorify. I don't know why he came out and said that with Reiner, but I thought last night was a good opportunity that he took to kind of reset things going into the midterms and how people should think about voting when they get to the booth.
Well, they're going to really have to think this through, though, because there is the Democrats, when they held things up for the shutdown, you know, the focus was on how much of that money was going to illegal immigrants. But that was states taking money from the feds and applying it that way. It wasn't federal policy. I think they should have been clearer about that, because the other part of this is the rebates that were put in. These were pandemic COVID rebates for ACA. Once those got in, I talked about it back then. Once that happened, even though they'll say this is only going to go for 3 years or whatever, once people get used to it, this is what happens when you depend on government for everything. Once people get used to it, then to try to take it away from them, they're going to holler.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, because it's making a difference. People, I know several people I've talked to, they're like, I'm now on for another, you know, $1,000 a month or something on my health care. So,
yeah, it's going to be painful. And it's, you know, what, 20 million votes that are hanging out there
so they need to frame this and frame it accurately and often.
And you look at some of these centrists, the moderate Republicans, if you want to call some of them that, and they're frustrated that there isn't really a plan. Let me play this clip before we go to the break. This is Kevin Kiley, a Republican congressman from California, talking about all this healthcare stuff.
Party leaders focus most of their time and energy on trying to blame problems on the other side rather than trying to solve those problems. So what are we supposed to tell these folks? Oh, don't worry, it's Obama's fault.
And that's kind of what's been going on, right?
But yeah, and to for somebody who said, well, I can't believe a Republican says that. I've talked about this for decades. That's a Republican in California. Okay, you know what a rock ribbed Republican in California is? Not elected.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could either have a Democrat in that seat, or you could have somebody who's more of a centrist.
Got to be a little purple if you're a Republican. And in parts of California, maybe you can get away with being a little more red. But
yeah, I mean, maybe in the Sacramento Valley and some places. But yeah, if I mean, it's not the same. It's like when you know, when we had the Tea Party and the change and people were getting elected, Republicans getting elected in Massachusetts, and people were like, well, that Republican is nowhere near like Alabama Republican. I said, well, the Alabama Republican would not be elected in Massachusetts. So which one do you want?
And it's also a good indicator, albeit obvious, you know, with some of these members of Congress, whether they flip their vote or not, as to what's at stake for these midterms. And to see the four congressmen that jumped ship to force a vote on extending the subsidies, which won't come until January, three of them from Ohio and one from New York. I mean, three of them from Pennsylvania and one from New York. So Pennsylvania, they're very concerned, even the Republicans, about these subsidies.
Well, I mean, and that's a battleground state because it's purple, you know, so there it is.
821, also a lot of discussion on the text line this morning about Water Street and what to do next with that. I'll get to some of those texts and more on the other side of the break.
It doesn't have Meta had a good point. He said the jacket was members only, Sean. Jean jackets wouldn't go with parachute pants. I had two members-only jackets in the 80s because my parents wouldn't buy them, but I tricked Grandma and Grandpa into buying me. They bought me a baby blue one the first time that I didn't like, and then I still had it, and then they got me a black one.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you still
honey,
have,
hush.
You still have both?
They're probably hanging up in a closet at Mom's house, yeah.
That's awesome.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:27 now, Mobile Mornings. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought that because Mayor Spiro Chiragatis, when he was mayor-elect, wasn't as vocal, you know, after winning the election. He wasn't talking as much as maybe you'd expect an incoming mayor. But since he became mayor, I think he's been out in front on a lot of issues and talking up a lot of the things that he wants to get done. And then you have new stuff like the rent at Government Plaza, but he's been all over this Water Street thing, especially here these last couple of weeks, and reducing the lanes, making it a little safer for folks to cross Water Street and be more.
We addressed this on Midday Mobile months and months and months ago. This idea we got to narrow it and do all this. Why not? People talking about doing crosswalks or those things. How about zip lines? It makes it fun to get across. Yeah, it's a little entertainment. You can zip line back and forth across Water Street.
Do you put the safety harness on, or do you let people go without the harness?
Safety first.
Okay.
Before you go, you know, cruising over Water Street. And then it's like a fun tourist thing, but you get across the street.
I'm not a fan of safety harnesses, especially when you're wearing shorts. They just make things,
it's not
as fun. But no. Backstrap Stacker, he had a comment on this. He said the waterfront could be nice. The first thing they need to do is move the jail. Nothing like a waterfront jail for the whole world to see. Perhaps, and we did get to this earlier, perhaps they can move it to the airport property in WeMo when everything transitions to Brookley Field. And would love, you know, your thoughts, too, 251-343-0106 on whether that is an effort even worth making. The mayor clearly thinks that it is.
And he's, like I said, 12 years ago, it was new Mayor Stimson, Sandy Stimson in, and he was saying the same things to me back then. And I was like, but it's a working waterfront. You say, no, it's going to be a combo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Chiragatis is saying.
That's what he's saying. Butterknife says there's not really much on Water Street. People are not going to start strolling down Water Street. Tourism is nice, but Mobile is a working class city. They need to get off this tourism kit. And it's interesting you say that, too. Yesterday, I mean, they had some great numbers they rolled out, specifically through this one Expedia ad campaign. The city said that booked a ton of hotel rooms and brought a lot of money into the city. You have all these new things like the Amtrak, apparently so far so good with how many people it's bringing in.
It's bad for, you know, vehicles to get in front of it, but for the train it's been good.
And then a lot of people, Sean, identify with your 80s getup that you used to wear. Or was that 90s? I don't know. Summerdale Tony says, yeah,
80s, brother. 80s.
Yeah, the black members only jacket was the thing, but I had the parachute pants with the zippers all over it, and I rocked the high top Converse.
And Larry pointing out that I could get big money for those members only jackets on eBay. 10 times what, and I didn't even pay for them. It's all profit.
Yeah,
100% profit.
Or you can go.
Grandma and Grandpa paid for those back in the 80s.
You can go on Marketplace and just argue with someone and they never come and buy them on Facebook Marketplace.
This is an option.
Sell them there. 8:30, Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap joins us next.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
And we're back, 8:34 on this Thursday morning. We'll talk with Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap here in just a moment. But first, you know, it's holiday season. You might have some folks coming over to your house next week. maybe some folks you know even for Christmas. And I know you've got that pile of junk that you've been kind of adding to steadily here these last few years, and it's time for it to go. Well, you only need to make one call, and that's to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett has assembled a crew of Got Junk Avengers. They probably wouldn't want me to call them that, but it's an all-star group that does just fantastic work making that junk disappear, whether it's from your home or your business. It's really easy to schedule your appointment and then get a free estimate. And we say it all the time, but the price they tell you they'll charge you is what they charge you. They don't hit you with those surprise charges after they're already making their way back down the road. And once you do that, get your estimate and schedule your appointment, they call when they're on the way. And then the easy part, you just point and watch your junk disappear. And, you know, we were talking about communication earlier and how important that is in a service that you use. Got Junk is just great at that as well. For instance, here's a 5-star review left by a customer here recently. Steven said, fast professional service. The reps explained everything in detail, did exactly what they said they would. We did a walkthrough after the job was complete. They addressed and resolved any issues immediately. They were very courteous. I absolutely recommend them after my experience, and we do too here at FM Talk 106.5. So give them a call today, or you can schedule that appointment online. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the phone number, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Yeah, it's great having local folks like Trey and the crew, because you actually can communicate with them. It's not this like you have to go to the call center and then you can communicate with them.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a big deal
for
me.
It's necessary, I would say, and they're great at it. And you know who's great at communicating? Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap.
That's a big setup for him.
He communicates via the written word and on the radio with us. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, thanks for the introduction. That's a great way to start a day.
I think it was probably the least I could say, because you are a great writer, and there's plenty for you to write about around here, including a brand new roundabout. No one's going to mess it up. It's so pretty. We've been waiting 2 years for this to open at McGregor. Surely no one drove through it within the first 48 hours, right?
No. Everything is perfect. You know, it's a pristine traffic circle. It's everything is awesome. And things couldn't be better.
I mean, Sean's been talking about it. I don't think if you would have put this the over-under on when the roundabout would be even harmed, much less whatever happened on Saturday morning, but just over 24 hours and already.
Yeah, I knew something was going to happen, right? I knew something was happening, but I had it out like 5 days or so. I really lost the under is what one. Yeah, I mean, when my buddy's sitting with me on Saturday morning, he said, "Hey, look at this." I said, "You got to be kidding. We can't have nothing nice."
Yeah.
We just got this thing open.
My fiance was livid when she saw it. She was like, Who's responsible? Find out who's responsible.
Did we ever find out? I mean, the story said the person stayed with their vehicle and all that. Did we ever find out anything more?
Yeah, we don't know who it was. This was somebody I was told by a city spokesman. They were driving through it and they swerved to avoid hitting some kind of critter.
Likely story.
Not sure if this was one of the infamous Spring Hill coyotes or a bear from Citronelle that could have gotten lost and came south. But they stayed with the devastation, and they were helpful to the police, and there's not going to be charges filed there. But I try to be more optimistic on these kinds of things, and I thought, you know, that it'd be a while before any kind of mishap came to the roundabout, but no, it was, you know, a lot shorter than that.
And anytime something like this happens, you know, people quickly want to pull the trigger on maybe putting more safety around it or higher curbs or something. I mean, I don't think they need to jump to that immediately. Hopefully people have figured it out. But is the city saying that they may protect the roundabout a little better, or have they mentioned that?
No, there's no plans for that yet. They're mainly just going to, fix the grass and put new signs in where the ones were ran over.
Clean up.
They are just going to keep it as it is. There's a very helpful clip on Facebook.
I love this.
Yeah.
Go ahead and describe this. Describe this to folks. Yeah. Kyle, describe what, because I was telling about it earlier, yesterday. Tell them what they see. What in this high-tech video from the city of Mobile, what is displayed here?
So we have Mayor Terry Gattis telling the citizens of Mobile and any drivers who might come our way how to use the roundabout with Mater and another car from Cars whose name I can't recall. And, you know, all, now this video
it's
was
classic.
Posted. This video was posted the Friday before the accident, and it's kind of eerie because at the end of the video, Mayor Spiro says, you know, careful not to do a Dukes of Hazzard and just go straight through the center. Well, self-fulfilling prophecy there.
But you know what? I'm glad you said that because I was ignorant to that. I thought that was posted up
afterwards.
So that was actually posted before the bridge was out and they had to jump through the roundabout.
Right. And wondering how the Duke boys are going to get out of it.
At this time, they probably won't.
Yeah. They just have to keep on driving in circles. That's the only way out.
That's the only way. Speaking of maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy, kind of explain how the city council meeting went down this week. Was the entire meeting held in the History Museum of Mobile, or was that just kind of a presser afterwards? Is this talk about Government Plaza and the rent? I didn't realize until reading your story, Kyle, that the History Museum, what is it, the longest used municipal building, like in the country or something like that?
It's the oldest continually used city building in the country. So it's not quite up there with Machu Picchu or the Colosseum, but it's pretty dang close in terms of how long this building has been used by the city. With the exception of like the pre-meeting work session, the entirety of the city council meeting took place in this hall, this large room in the History Museum of Mobile.
As a threat, right? As a threat that, well, we can go somewhere else.
No, this is something that they've done for years, and they just like to keep the History Museum in use as a city building. It was opened in 1858, and then they moved to Government Plaza sometime in 95. But this conversation about the rent and where are we going to go next if we are, that continued after the meeting. You know, me and the other media were gaggled up all around Mayor Spiro, and you know, we just asked, you know, how are things going? The negotiations are still taking place. They're exchanging some information. There's been no hard deadlines set. Mayor Spiro said that they're going to keep paying the old rate of rent, and he said that moving out is still on the table. So they are not planning to move back into to the museum. So that's one we can check off of our list of possible city hall sites. But this is still going on. Probably will be through the new year.
And this is, I mean, negotiation here is what we're watching. I think, you know, it gets framed as drama, but it could just doing business here, mm-hmm. like where you go, okay,
right.
They're getting it right now. The city's been paying what, $12 a square foot. And the other end, you and I've talked about it before, was 24 something plus at RSA Tower. I've said this 100 mm-hmm. times. County building is not RSA Tower. Look, it's not new like
no.
that. Okay. So in between, there's a number, right? And because the county needs the city, because the city moved out, I know you could put law offices or whatever in there, but you're not going to fill up the space the city has. The county needs the city to be in there as a renter. They need that.
Right.
And the city, if they go to any of these, you know, Lord knows the internet or text lines full of places where people say they should go, but they'd have this big build out. They'd have to go build and redo everything, spend a bunch of money to do it. So they both sides need each other, and there's a number in between. I think we're just watching a negotiation. Yeah.
Absolutely right. They are trying to find that magical middle spot where everybody can be happy, and we shall see what happens there. I think that moving out of City Hall would That would just cost way too much money and take up way too much time. You know, we've got to build the Civic Center, and the budget is quite tight now. So to pay for two men and a truck would be a little challenging.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds like both sides have such leverage on each other, which would make for a blockbuster negotiation. Unfortunately, it's the county versus the city, so it's taxpayer dollars that we're talking about here.
And, oh yeah.
And you know, there've been
mine and y'all's
a lot of ideas passed around. I think Corey Penn, a councilman, one of them mentioning Dauphin Way, and I know you talked with Pete Ream, who said easier said than done. That's going to be pretty costly. Sean's idea was maybe because of the conversation about the new animal shelter, move the city council in there. But have there been any serious conversations about where they may go?
No, there's still a lot of speculation there on where exactly they could go. You know, there's plenty of space that's, well, you know, the first one that comes to mind is the old Penny's behind the Target. There's some space, I think, next to the Burlington Coat Factory at Springdale Mall. If you don't move the whole city in there, you could probably at least do some sort of annex where you put like the more forward facing things that people use, like the building department. You could probably move those in there, but there again, you're still going to run into the higher costs of doing a lease outside of Government Plaza and moving there.
Yeah, you talk about middle ground too. So last week, I had Councilman Bo Fleming on as well, and it had Commissioner DeWitt on. This started a lot of conversation. Then had Councilman, and he, I mean, this wasn't anything they talked about council, but he was just talking about his regular business person. He said, maybe we just lower the amount of square footage we lease for the city. Maybe we just take less space.
Right.
You know, we consolidate some offices. We don't need this. We don't need that. I mean, I don't think that's come up at a council meeting, but that's, I mean, it shows me that they're trying to figure out some way, some compromise here.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're doing. We got a new mayor, and we're trying to see, you know, kind of what direction the city needs to go in here for this lease that's been on the table with the county for, you know, as long as I've been alive. So we shall see.
Some early midterm news. You know, normally we're talking about who's jumping into these statewide races and federal races, but first dropout in the lieutenant governor's race, and A.J. McCarron announces, well, he's heading out, and looks like he's going to be the coach of the Birmingham Stallions after Skip Holtz skipped town. But what any reasoning behind this outside of that, or he just said it's going to take up too much time?
That's what he said, was, you know, that running for the lieutenant governor seat, Will Ainsworth, is currently term limited. McCarron said that running for that seat would distract from this new football opportunity, which he did not specifically name. There is a lot of, you know, a lot of speculation that he could go to head this new team in Birmingham. He's going back to the career field that made him the most famous, and he's has not ruled out possibly getting back into some sort of campaign in the future. He had previously said that he wants to be the quarterback for Governor Coach Tuberville if he were to win the election. But it's not quite clear on the reasoning why he got out, except for the fact that, you know, there's this new football thing that has come up. There hasn't been a lot of he has not really talked a lot about the issues in this race. There was a good bit of space on his campaign's social media page that talked about, you know, his opinions on the upcoming football games. So that definitely seems to be kind of where his focus is now.
Well, there's going to be plenty more where that came from as we head towards these elections next year.
I was going to say, too, you mentioned Will Ainsworth. That's a conversation, if you'll go listen to Jeff's show, stuff that you know, Will Ainsworth out, or maybe he's, I mean, he's back on this radio station a good bit. Could it be something new for Will coming? Could it be Senate?
Yeah.
Could it be?
Yeah.
Just saying, throwing things out.
Probing. Yeah, there's still plenty of time to jump into this race.
Yep, they're probing. I like that. Kyle Hamrick, Lanyap, and new issue on stands now. A lot of great Christmas information in there. And then, of course, the job your sports department does there. Fantastic this time of year as well. So if folks want to sign up, what's the best way, Kyle?
It's a Christmas winter here.
It is. And it makes a good gift, too.
Absolutely. This is, I've been told from sources that this is the number one most asked for thing on Santa's list this year. So head to lanyapmobile.com. We have a subscriptions tab that you can click on and find the plan that works best for you or the person that you're giving a gift to this holiday season. Sign up on lanyapmobile.com. If you have any questions, give us a holler. We will help you out.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Kyle. And I think I'll be listening to you a little bit later.
So. He's got another show. I think he might be on.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Kyle. Kyle Hamrick, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. From roundabouts to City Hall to Government Plaza, he's got it all covered. 251-343-0106. We'll get you your text as we wrap things up on the other side.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, Dan out. He'll be back Monday. Sean has been coming in. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's all right, man. I kind of like it. Kind of like it here in the morning.
Jeff Poor on the way. And another great guest list. He'll have Secretary of State candidate Caroline Dobson on in hour number one. Her former opponent and former state senator Dick Brubaker joins Jeff in hour number two.
He should put them on at the same time.
That would be blockbuster. Must listen, you know, viewing.
That's where my mind goes.
I wonder if there's any hard. There have to be hard feelings on at least one side there. I don't know. Maybe a masterful politician such as Brubaker can leave that in the past. I don't know. And then in hour three, 18:19 news is April Marie Fogel will be on for the first time ever on this radio station. Or second time this week. 8:56, a lot of texts too this morning to get to. Jerry in Fort Morgan, so we're talking about where to move City Hall if they were to move. And he says, I saw where the River Shack on Dog River is now open. They should move down there. So,
you know, and I don't know, there's several stories about that up now. I don't know. My analysis is this, and it's very, very scientific. I know that this summer going down there, they stopped repairing the dock out front,
mm-hmm.
and I was going with friends of mine down there, and it seems like if I own the priority, I know more of their business probably comes by car, but the vibe is you could tie your boat up.
Yeah.
They're like, no more boats, no time. I'm like, aren't you trying? Like, if I have a place on the water, like, that's the thing. What makes me different from another place. I'm like, dock's going to be rebuilt and fine. And,
yeah,
and they were like, nope, no docks. You can't come in that way.
And there's, you know, a lot of speculation and just commentary on this on social media about the River Shack shutting down. And I saw at least one person saying they had a feeling something wasn't right once they didn't rebuild that dock. So,
yeah. I mean, because that's kind of your – I mean, you got to have good food and good atmosphere and all that, but that's – it's kind of a brand thing. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Go over the Mariner, you got a dock, you got, I mean, that's how you make business.
Yeah, you'd think, but sad, bad times for the River Shack. Doesn't have Meta talking about this negotiation between the county and the city. Says, county versus city needs to get Jimmy Sexton involved. Please don't. Please
it's
don't.
It's going to cost us so much money.
We're all going to come out of so much more money if Jimmy Sexton gets involved in that negotiation. But hopefully they're able to work to an easy agreement, maybe behind the scenes. And Summerdale Tony, a little roundabout discussion, says, I wish people would still use the blinker even on a roundabout because you can sit there and wonder what that guy's going to do, and then all of a sudden he whips and turns. It would be a lot more considerate, but people don't even use their blinkers anywhere anymore anyway.
I am pro-blinker, but and by the way, didn't even get time for Matt, but Matt had a text here. Maybe turn the jail into an escape room.
That'd be great. It's already built for it, right?
Yep.
8:59, Jeff Porsche on the way, and then Midday Mobile.